Hey, Founder Fam, before we dive into another incredible conversation, I want to share something really special with you. Whether you're just joining us or you've been following us since the beginning, you've been a critical part of our community working to change entrepreneurial education. I started Founder almost a decade ago with the mission to provide entrepreneurs access to the world's greatest business leaders. Our goal was to break down barriers to entrepreneurial education, and that's taken us on a journey from Founder Magazine to this podcast and beyond. And today marks the next step in that journey, Founder Plus. I'm proud to introduce you to Founder Plus, which is an all-access pass to each of our online courses and programs and their proven frameworks for success. It puts every strategy we've compiled from world-class instructors at your fingertips while connecting you to a global network of like-minded entrepreneurs. Founder Plus will take your business to the next level for today and tomorrow. So whether you've just joined our family or you've watched us grow from humble beginnings, we're really thrilled to have you join us in this exciting new phase of making the Founder brand and this company the world's best entrepreneurial community to launch and grow your business. So finally, before we get into today's episode, I'm inviting you to come back, check out Founder Plus, and go to founder.com/membership. I'm really excited, guys. This is an incredible new evolution of entrepreneurial education. And our mission is really to get as many of these founders that we interview to teach and also give back on the Founder Plus platform and really go more in depth with the knowledge and the experiences and the lessons learned that they're sharing all in Founder Plus. So guys, please go check it out if you're enjoying these interviews. That's it from me. I hope you enjoy this episode. Now let's jump in.
What you need is thirst. You need to be a thirsty human
who is intent on learning.
It's a really fascinating exploration of human potential.
Now. The Founder Podcast. Even the greatest entrepreneurs had help. If you want to learn from the most successful founders on the planet, you are in the right place. Branson, Mark Cuban, Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, Arianna Huffington, Seth Godin, Steve Case, Gary Vee, Sophia Amoroso, Barbara Corcoran, Damon John. Learn from the greatest minds in business today with interviews hosted by Nathan Chan. This is not your average entrepreneur podcast. The Founder Podcast.
Ronnie, welcome back, man. Welcome to our e-commerce AI Summit. Excited to have you here. Last time we spoke a lot about SEO and organic. You're a bit of a G when it comes to SEO and growing e-commerce brands using SEO. You're a big fan of first-party data and why it's so important to really grow your e-commerce brand. You have a portfolio of brands. The most well-known one that you talk about is Brandzio Watches, which you've scaled. It's a I don't even know how big it is, but does over multiple seven figures at least a year. So the first question I ask everyone that comes on is, how did you get your job? AKA, how did you find yourself doing the work you're doing today?
Thank you, Nathan, for having me. How did I find my job? I think I ended up in entrepreneurship as a mistake, right? I shopped around and people said I had a very big personality. So I was never an employee market fit in any organization. So I said, if nobody's going to end up giving me a job, I said, I'll create one myself. And that's how I started in my business, which is essentially, there's that story that I've told before when I was with you, which is, you know, picking blueberries, working at Best Buy, self-taught digital marketer. And then, you know, the story is basically, they said, you have a big personality and somehow, you know, people get scared of it. And I can understand that. So I said, I'll make my own way. And took a chance on myself and I started my own business.
You have a portfolio of brands, which is really interesting. How many brands, e-commerce brands, do you have under your portfolio right now?
At the moment, about 15. So, yes, sir. Yeah. So a few in the watch market. So watch and watch accessories, a few in software. And the way things are looking now, what we've been working on for the last, I think, about 8 months is to deploy a product which is quite similar to Microsoft Office, which is called Trulia Office. So quite a big undertaking when you're trying to compete with a giant that does about $15 billion in revenue.
Interesting. Okay. So Last time we chatted, you shared about how you rebuilt your company through content marketing and SEO. What do you think the state of SEO marketing is right now, in particular with the emergence of AI and how easy it is to create content?
Well, the issue is, I would like to sound like an expert, but the problem is Google has me stumped with exactly what the updates that they've been pushing for the last month. Google's rolled out three different updates, right? When you're looking at the three different updates, it's a bit confusing because if you are a website that is well established, so Google goes by EEAT, so you know, authority and trust, and you know, and everything else under the market. If you're a trusted site, chances are you will gradually be trusted, and you'll gradually see a bump up, which is happening right now. About a month ago, what Google launched was something called the helpful content update. Right now, with the helpful content update, what's quite interesting is you're finding out that the main winners of the site was something that used to happen in the 90s. So if you had like forums, so coming back to creators and talking about creators, if you have UGC, so when people think about user-generated content could be in terms of ads. That's what you're thinking as an e-commerce entrepreneur. It's just like, it could be ads, it could be, customer testimonials, reviews, etc. But there's a different side of UGC content, which I can talk about, which is the SEO part of it. And when you think about UGC's 1.0, that's forums, right? So when this content update rolled out, it was going back to UGC 1.0, which is the forum-based websites, Quora, Reddit, LinkedIn, and we had communities and people who were essentially creating these communities where interactions were going on, people were asking questions and answers. There's this whole sort of plethora of people coming together under a certain umbrella, under a certain product. Those were the sites that were actually rewarded. So when you're talking about UGCs from that perspective, and when you're tying it into like SEO, this is a classic example of why you should actually, when people talk about communities, it doesn't mean you need to have Facebook groups or WhatsApp groups or anything else. It also means, tertiary, are you creating something a space where people can have this chat, right? So that's something that I found really, really interesting, that what Google's trying to do at the moment.
Mm. So when it comes to SEO, what's working in your business right now?
The interesting thing about AI, right, at the end of the day is like, it's everything about Moore's law in terms of what's happened in the last like 8 months is it's a bit overwhelming, right? So I'll give you the basics of it, what I use as a tactically for my business, right? So about 8 months ago, I was using Jasper, and Jasper was all the buzz and et cetera, right? And Jasper costs you about $100 to $200 a month. But now if you go to Bing, right? Bing literally has ChatGPT and everything else built into it. And it does live crawling of all the URLs that are indexed on Bing itself, right? So there's a couple of things that I actually use. Number one is I live crawl all the URLs in Bing just to get an idea of what I'm actually looking at. So for example, if I'm looking for top watches of 2023, right? Or next release of watches 2024, Bing will actually come and generate all the results, the articles out of, let's say, the top 10 blogs that it trusts, right? So you actually know, you have a baseline for the top 10 blogs that Bing has indexed for you, right? I would essentially take these articles and then move them all into OpenAI. So the ChatGPT function at the end of the day, right? And from there, I would ask ChatGPT with a prompt to rewrite these articles in a more SEO-friendly, reader-friendly way, right? So option number one is you can use Bing itself. Option number two is you can use ChatGPT with the plugin of Bing as well and sort of do the same process, right? Your prompt is what is going to be the most important part and how you're actually asking the AI to rewrite your content, right? The third part, which a lot of people ignore, is basically you need to edit it. You need to edit it to sort of, for a human to read it, because this is a machine that's actually coming up with it, right, at the end of the day. So you need to have a human edit it. You need to see what the layout is, what the flow is, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the time you're able to push it live. Now, what a lot of smart SEOs are doing is they're using something called Make, right, which is like Zapier. And within Zapier, they're able to deploy with Midjourney or DALL-E. DALL-E is one that works right now. With DALL-E and ChatGPT, you can actually ask it to write an article, do the image prompt within DALL-E as well. So it gives you like a massive, let's say 1,000-word article with images of like emperor penguins, et cetera, et cetera. and then it's off to the races. And then it's published on a WordPress blog. So it's literally like 5 minutes. It's like, yeah.
And you're not getting penalized for doing that?
Nope. No, you're not. It's what Google had frowned upon years ago, which was basically page builders. So page builders was basically like, it used to be this old school software where you could just deploy. If you liked a website, you could literally copy that website and deploy hundreds of pages that look like this website one fine day. And Google had shunned it. But in this last update, it seems like it's not the way forward anymore. Google's actually saying, yes, you can deploy multiple pages of multiple content because you need to feed the beast. And that's what Google's looking at right now, is feed me as much information as you can.
But that's insane, because the content is effectively being respun from a... Yeah, wow. That's wild.
I'm as confused over the last, like, let's say 6 to 8 weeks, because it's exciting in the way that, like, you know, you could literally spin out 100, 200 pages, right? And see how they go. And but 100, 200 is on the low end, right? You could be spinning out 1,000 pages a month. Super easy, right? But the part that's what Google calls the helpful content is actually the not so helpful content, content update. And then they rolled out another one, I think about a week ago, which penalizes all affiliate sites, which have reviews best of, so example, best watch is 2024. It's not going to work anymore. Google's actually just going to eat it up and put it into paid search, which is interesting.
Crazy. Okay. So right now you're just using that method to spin out ridiculous amounts of content and articles, and you're ranking?
Well, we have a test site. So usually we have a 30 URL. We'll test this on a live WordPress site and see how it works. We don't do it on our main sites because we don't want to penalize the main site. So please don't do it on your main site. So if you do get a chance, have a test site, try out everything on there. And if it's working on there, like a couple of weeks, you'll know when things are indexing and how quickly they're indexing. So yeah, I mean, they're working on the test site. So we're able to bring it back and actually like deploy it on the main site and say, look, let's just scale as quickly as we can. We don't know how long this is going to last, right? Because there's another content update that's going to come November and then one in December. And that for sure is going to hit different things. But while it's good, I would highly suggest it, because every page that I'm seeing that I'm putting out programmatically is being indexed, number one. Number two, am I able to, simple example, to get traffic between 5 to 10K clicks a month, right? It would 5 to 10 clicks a day. It would previously take me about 3 to 6 months to get to that volume. Today, I can get to that same volume in about 7 days.
Wow. So you're getting 5 to 10K clicks a day.
Yeah, you can scale it in a week versus 6 months. So it's like, it just depends on the execution tactic, right? So something that I can talk about, which I guess we discussed earlier, was programmatic SEO, right? So when you look at programmatic SEO from, let's say, a very wide perspective, so let's put it like a broad perspective. So for example, if you're looking to sell courses, right? Let's say digital marketing courses. People are looking for digital marketing courses in different geos. So you're looking at, let's say, digital marketing courses San Diego, digital marketing courses LA, digital marketing courses. So you take the top 50 cities that you want to target, right? So you take the top 50 cities. Next, you're going to write everything about digital marketing courses with this particular location in that particular city. And of course, you want to make a really nice long page, which is helpful with the pictures of your courses, you know, a couple of videos about it. Link it to your to either LinkedIn and YouTube and everything else where people can actually see your content. And then of course you want to make a page, let's say about 1,000 to 1,500 words long, which actually talks about the digital marketing courses, what makes them so special, etc. But now you're not doing it for the San Diego, you're doing it for every major city. You make a massive pillar page, right? So that pillar page essentially is where all these 50 sort of cities are housed, digital marketing courses, San Diego, etc. And the intro is probably about, let's say about 500 to 1,000 words, right? Which talks about digital marketing courses in general. Chances of this ranking, say locally, or whenever people are searching for digital marketing courses in those particular cities, are going to be through the roof. You'll rank locally, I guarantee you, within a week, if you were to follow this particular strategy, which is, and this is what programmatic SEO is essentially.
Yeah, wild. Okay, crazy. And are many people doing this? Do you know many people that are doing stuff like this?
Like I have the privilege of actually learning, being with some of the smartest minds in SEO in Thailand. So, you know, they when you hang around being the dumbest guy in the room, some of their intelligence definitely gets to rub off on me for sure.
Mm. So one thing that's also interesting is you mentioned offline that, you are scaling ads as well. So when we spoke about a year ago, when it came to kind of your marketing mix, you were still pretty strong, top of funnel, first party. You still spent money on paid, but now it sounds like you're really scaling it out. Talk to me about your thoughts there.
Yeah, look, I'll first party data and the data that you own is still my bread and butter at the end of the day, right? But the thing is, you need to start looking at it from a wider funnel. So if you want to go from, let's say, if you want to go from like a $10 million company to a $30 million company, you need to start driving in a lot more traffic. And the problem with first party data, as well as, let's say, the SEO way, right? It's a constant, like it'll move, right? So for example, in the helpful content update, I'm happy to admit that I'm one of the losers, right? Maybe my traffic's down 15 to 20%. That's fine. No problems, right? I mean, we'll gain it back over the next, we have a 6 to 1 year long approach to it, right? I mean, Healthline, for example, lost 13 million visitors.
Wow. A month.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we are not in the grand scale. Like if you're in the SEO game and your website visits are anywhere between, 20 to 30% down, that's the average. If you're only 5% down, consider yourself a winner, right? Why ads is the thing. So the ads landscape's changing pretty interestingly, right? So when you're looking at the ads landscape, there's a few interesting plays in the market. Number one, which I'm sure it's going to be discussed, is TikTok shops, right? When you look at TikTok shops in the grand scheme of things, as an e-commerce entrepreneur, when I look at how much commissions Amazon is charging me, right? The base of Amazon is between 15 to 20% with ads and everything else, pick and pack, shipping, drop, shipping, etc. I'm paying about 40 cents of the dollar to Amazon. TikTok shops is about, and I'll speak about Southeast Asia in general, is about 4%. TikTok has its own warehousing facilities where they use it for fulfillment like Amazon does. The cost of fulfilling on that is another 2%. Right, so I'm paying between 6 to 8% plus ad costs, let's say another 10%. So there's 18% what I'll pay on TikTok versus about 40% that I'm going to pay on Amazon. That's just a no-brainer for me, right? So when we want to do a global launch at the end of the day, we would probably like to do something with TikTok, for example, or there's other options out there which people are not thinking about, like Temu, which is another interesting competitor in the market, right? It's Temu. Temu's funded by, I think, Tencent or one of those guys. And they've hit the US market. They're losing about $30 to $50 per user. But because of the funding that they have, they're only acquiring users left, right, and center. So it's a good probable cause to get onto these new platforms, which are trying to break through and try to dethrone Amazon at the end of the day. And for a person Amazon is bread and butter. It's good. It's a good baseline. Keep it as is, right? But you need to start looking at different market alternatives, right? Temu or TikTok or Etsy or, Groupon, very interesting model as well.
Mm. Or Facebook.
Facebook's great, man. Facebook is still good for scaling. I think what happened post iOS, and I was one of the guys who got hit really, really hard with Facebook post iOS. I started again on Facebook, I would say, 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. So we got back on the Facebook horse. And I'll tell you what, the Advantage Plus shopping campaigns, that's the money maker essentially for you. So without getting too much into the details, if you were ever thinking about that media buying is complicated and it's, you need to move the needle with cents, you need to, go and change bids every day, you need to change everything else. I think that whole buying game has changed altogether, right? Media buying is now automated. What is not automated, and what a lot of intelligent people will say is, it's a creative, right? Which I 100% would agree on. The best companies, and True Classic is a great example of this, they just deploy, let's say, 30 or 40 creatives, and they just let the audiences optimize for it. a really smart person who does this in the market that I really look up to is VShred and Athletic Greens, right? They're testing out 150 different creatives. So you have a top of funnel creative testing funnel, right? You're testing out 150 different creatives. You're putting a hard limit stop at $50 a test per creative. You take it down to the mid-level. You know, you have whatever your metrics are. Could be a sale, ROAS, or it could be click-through rate, or it could be anything else like that, right? Then you take it down one level more and you say, okay, the middle funnel, we're going to test out the next 50 creatives. We're going to spend $100 on them, see which one performs better. And then you, of course, take them to the lowest funnel. The stuff you can control today is the creative, and let's not forget the landing page, right? That landing page testing becomes extremely, extremely important as well. So you can drive the traffic, you know, you can take the horse to the water, but I mean, is it going to drink it or not? That's your landing page. Then that's the most important thing here.
Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode and learning a ton. As you know, in this series, we interview some of the greatest founders of our generation to find out how they did it. However, if you're thinking of starting your own business and you want to hear from some incredible stories from everyday people like you or I who are actually in the trenches, only been building their business for maybe 1 year or 2 years, like that are building right now and they're really in the early stages, but they're getting success, you should come and check out our new podcast, From Zero to Founder, hosted by our community manager, Molly Flynn. These are in the trenches stories from our very own successful students that have gone through some of our programs. People just like you who are deep within the process of building their very own successful business. These are the founders of tomorrow. You can find the From Zero to Founder podcast on all platforms. And remember, it's founder without the E. All right, now let's jump in the show. Yeah, look, a lot of talk about, you know, from doing this summit around Facebook, but also that it's come back in a big way and that it's all about creative in a big, big, big way.
Yeah, 100%. I think you want to know something crazy? And I don't know if a lot of people agree with me. My best performing creatives are actually static ads.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you use AI to make them?
Yeah. Midjourney. For lack of a better word, there's a really interesting smart guy out there. His name is Rory, and Rory actually showed me ads he was making using Midjourney, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "What the hell? Don't I know about this?" And basically, we sat down for a session for 2 hours, and I think in 2 hours we would bang out about like 50 to 75 ads.
Wow!
So you just need that much time if you set yourself to it to sort of do it. It's quite interesting. I mean, something for the audience that they might be interested in is, for example, is Canva just released Magic Editor. So you can actually put a banner out, give it a prompt, and it'll throw up an image that you can use in an ad immediately for Facebook or whatever, and then deploy it in different sizes. But that costs you about $140 or something a year. But if you want the free thing, you can go to Bing. And on Bing, they have the DALL-E option. We can create your own image. And then you can edit the image using Microsoft Editor, which is all of this is free, by the way.
This is game changing. Oh, awesome, man. This is gold. So talk to us around more AI tools, man. So what other tools are you using in your business? We talked about DALL-E. We talked about ChatGPT. We talked about Midjourney. What else?
Jasper.
I use Jasper. Why do you use Jasper and not ChatGPT for copy?
I use both, actually. Jasper is actually a little bit better in terms of the output, the way it reads, to be honest. But, the jury's out on it, right? I prefer using Jasper. My team prefers using ChatGPT. And sometimes I'll just switch, right? ChatGPT is very interesting now. Here's the other thing, right? We were talking about creatives, right? How do you get good ideas for creatives? And I don't know if anybody else has talked about it, but I'm definitely happy to talk about it. The best creatives come from looking at your competitor, right? Feeding all, you can actually get Bing or whatever, ChatGPT, to crawl your competitor's reviews, right? Look at the reviews from 5-star to 1-star. Take out all the 2 and 1-star reviews. Put them in a table. You can actually give that prompt to ChatGPT. Put them all in a table. Look at the 2 and 1-star reviews. They will give you the pain points that your competitors' customers have that you're looking to solve. And then you actually make your ads and copy based on those particular reviews.
That's cool. Game changing.
Yeah. So Kind of interesting from where you wanted to go at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. All right. Any other tools? Any other game changing tools you want to share with the audience, community?
These are the most basic tools I use. The issue that I find is that there's a lot of noise out there in general, right? And unfortunately, I also have been caught up in it for the last like few months. But these are the basics I use. Everything else for me was a distraction. I mean, people can go and if they want, they can kind of like experiment with it and see what works for you. I mean, 11 Labs is another one which experimented for a while, which is quite interesting in terms of voiceover changes. So if you want to use the voiceover and you want to translate it and have it done in different languages, so 11 Labs was definitely it. But for us, wanted to keep it simple, man.
Yeah, love it. Thank you. And look, this is what this summit's all about, man, and this conference, right? Like just getting people right to the source, speaking to legit founders that are using it day-to-day, how they're using it, how can people get ahead? So thank you. What is the main challenge that you're finding in regards to implementing AI solutions into your e-commerce business?
Well, it's something that I was talking about before, which is the noise, right? I think on my last count, there's about 100 different AI tools being basically deployed every day, and everybody's getting funding for them because AI is the new thing and everybody's excited about it. And everybody on Twitter apparently is doing really well with AI tools, right? So don't believe half the stuff you hear. I think personally from experience, what I'll go back to the basics, right? Go back to using the three or four tools that you're most comfortable with. In regards to our team, mostly we've gone back to the basics, right? Because the crazy person who was testing out of the tools was me. And then I found out about 3 months in, this is a complete waste of time. So the main challenges are, number one is going to be the noise. Number two, you gotta look at what fits your business model the best, right? For an e-commerce company, copy is king or queen, creatives are king or queen. And you start from the basic building blocks, right? Then you can sort of train your financial models, et cetera, as you go up. Word of caution, please don't feed, all your financial data into OpenAI's stuff, because it's just going to consume it tomorrow and just, you don't know if it's safe or secure. A lot of companies have done this. Not small e-commerce businesses, but I'm talking about law firms and stuff. So not the smartest idea ever, because that data could at some point in time be exposed. So maybe don't do it that way. You can use local LLMs to do so. Claude's one. It's kind of an interesting one, or Lambda. But that's where we are at the moment, right? We want to be an AI first organization, and I'm sure everybody wants to be an AI first organization. But I think you have training wheels on.
Talking about chatbots, how do you balance the use of chatbots and automation, AI, and the support-driven solutions versus having that human touch in customer service?
I'm 100% human touch guy. Like that's been my motto since day one. I had a chat with a customer support team and the operations guy, and I was, personally on the other side, which is like, hey, let's get chatbots and let's get AI driven answers, et cetera, and they're like the premise of your company is that you do human based support, right? That's what people want at the end of the day. And the thing is, the way the AI is today, people will know when they're pre trained answers. They will immediately know. And the thing is, you can't really take your customer to be a fool, right? And they will know immediately when you're doing something like that. So we've stuck to human-based customer support. I think people appreciate it a lot better. People appreciate when you pick up the phone and answer the calls. People appreciate it when you actually like tap and answer. We do have a middle layer, to be really frank with you, which is basically canned answers. And they're basically prompts. And then, you put in a prompt slash, problem XYZ, and it just spits out the answer. So you actually have somebody who reads it and is able to give the right solution for the right problem.
Got you. And then what about the future? Where do you see this going in the next 5 years, especially for e-commerce founders and the e-commerce space?
It will get automated. I think it's 100% going to be automated. But the thing is, like, let me give you, I think a good example is, and I hope, you don't mind if it's, I'll share with you a personal experience of a customer story that I had, right? There's two email providers that I use that are quite well known in the e-commerce market, right? one e-commerce this email provider uses is a 24/7 human driven customer support. The other one uses chatbots. I've used both of them. I'm actually a customer of both of them, but I'm going to close down and move to the human support one because there was somebody who called me when they saw problems in my account and then reached out to me and did a remote session at 12 midnight California time to help solve my problem. And I think that will never be the same compared to, let's say, what AI can do for you at the end of the day, right? That experience, that emotions that it evoked in me that I'm sharing with you, I don't think so that's going to happen with AI. However, having said that, I think gradually the low-level support customer support is, of course, going to be automated, 100%.
Mm. And what about the future of e-commerce and in the next 5 years when it comes to AI just in general? Where do you see that going?
Mm. That's a very interesting question because you look at all the e-commerce, most e-commerce guys, I mean, we're platform dependent, right? Google, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. And now let's take it one level up. When you're doing media buying on these platforms, it's already automated. It's an algorithm, it's AI generated, and it's moving in that direction, right? So 5 years from now, who knows, your creatives are going to be AI generated. I'm 100% sure, in fact, they're going to be AI generated because I don't know if you've seen that example in China where people are using AI likenesses of people doing UGCs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was like, holy hell, this is crazy, right? So that's already happening. I mean, I was going to say 5 years from now, it's happening today. So 5 years from now is an interesting thing, man. I mean, the last 8 months have flipped everything on its head. So I don't know what December's even going to bring now.
I was going to ask one more question. And that's just around kind of, I guess, if you were to start an e-commerce business tomorrow or a new brand tomorrow and add a new one to your portfolio, I know you do a lot of acquisitions now as well, but if you were starting a new one from scratch, how would you use AI to have a competitive edge and advantage?
So can I, I'll be super candid with you, right? So I think the number one thing that I would look at is what markets I want to go to. Do I want to go blue ocean or red ocean, right? So red ocean is, of course, it's a very competitive market. The oceans are bloody, et cetera, et cetera. Blue ocean is the market's open, right? So number one question is, can I take something that exists in the West and does not exist in the East, essentially? A similar concept. So Rocket Internet, the guys in Germany used to copy everything out of Silicon Valley. Perfect example of this model, right? Literally like rip everything off or take it to a different locale. It'll work. 100% it'll work. So speaking about e-commerce, I'll probably have to look at what I'm most comfortable with, what am I most knowledgeable about, or what am I most like, I know watches, I know what watches are going to work. I know exactly, let's drill down two or three levels down this. If not watches, I think straps will work. Within straps, what is the right kind of strap that's going to work? Is it like alligator skin? Probably not, because, you know, it's cruelty to animals. It's going to be phased out. Is it going to be, you know, NATO straps? Well, NATO straps are a little bit old. They're done and dusted. Probably not. Maybe there is a market for vegan leather. Now, let's go one step further. I'm going to start looking at, you know, the amount of searches that exist within the market for vegan leather straps, right? What is the trend line that's happening on vegan leather straps? It's all publicly available information. Input that data into ChatGPT, look at Bing, be like, hey, can you make me a chart on vegan leather purchases year over year for the last 10 years? And if you start seeing a trend line that's going upwards, guess what? You got a product market fit. Then you start looking at in the market and doing a price a comparison of the top 10 sites that send vegan leather straps. So that's the process that I personally would follow and then move in that general direction.
Love it. Okay, one last question. Is there any questions that you wanted me to ask you that I didn't ask you? And any, if so, what are they? What would you like to share with people? And any final words of wisdom for our community?
I appreciate that you think I have words of wisdom, but yeah, I appreciate that, man. I don't have any questions. Yeah, you know, for any questions you would like to ask me, I wish that everybody is able to use AI to like succeed in what they're doing at the moment. And I really want to appreciate what Founder is doing to help new entrepreneurs in the e-com space with this. This is something I'm so happy about. I'm so excited about, and it's only onwards and upwards from here.
Awesome. Well, man, that was awesome. You shared so much gold, so many hacks, so many cool tools, processes, how you're using AI in your business, how other founders are using AI in their business. This was gold. So thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this interview. As you might already know, our mission at Founder is to help tens of millions of people every single week with our content, either start or grow their business, which is exactly why we're partnering with world-class founders such as Damon John, Alexa Von Tobel, Greta Van Riel, and so many more to teach crucial skills such as negotiation, finance, e-commerce, and so much more. So if you'd like to get access to these free exclusive trainings, please go to founder.com/free. These are 100%. We go super in depth on teaching a particular topic, and I know that you're going to love them if you enjoy this podcast. So just go to founder.com/free. All right, guys, I'll see you in the next episode.